all our lives, this can sound so routine. Jesus is Lord. It is the confession of our faith. It is the heart of our baptism. And yet, Lord, we know. We know that we fail to understand the full impact of those words on our daily living. And so our deepest prayer is that as we hear your word written so many centuries ago, that the freshness and the power of our confession will grip our hearts again. That we will again bow the knee and confess with the tongue that the Lord is Jesus Christ. For we pray this in his holy and high and exalted name. Amen. Your text will be seen on the screen, and it is also on the lavender sheet that was in your bulletin, so you use either one. And join me in reading Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. Although Christ Jesus existed with all the qualities essential to God's being, with all the characteristics of godness, he did not view equality with God to consist of grasping or seizing that godness for himself. Instead, he emptied himself, pouring himself out by taking the essential qualities of a slave. He became like a human being with all the recognizable features of humanness. And being found in appearance and bearing as a human being with a human body, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that the Lord is Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Imagine yourself as a German Christian in 1936, Eleanor Kastner, where is Eleanor? You were in Germany at that time, right, Eleanor? Imagine yourself as a German Christian in 1936, after decades of economic depression and high unemployment, Germany is back. Factories work overtime, employment is up, the country's being built, spirits are high, and Der Führer is coming to town. Of course, he demands total loyalty. Of course, he has shut down the press. Of course, he has made himself a dictator. But you ask yourself, why not? Why not unite your Christian faith and your German patriotism behind this popular leader? Why not raise your arm and salute? Why not shout the words, Heil Hitler? In a German village, a devout Christian woman who was the mother of my Philippians professor at Princeton, Dr. Ulrich Mauser, understood why not. She understood that Jesus alone is Lord and Hitler was not. No one else would receive her total loyalty, her complete allegiance. No one but Jesus alone. And so when Hitler marched by, She refused to bow the knee. She refused to raise her arm in salute. She refused to confess Heil Hitler with her tongue. When soldiers came to her door to confirm that she had a picture of Hitler in her home, she turned them away by saying, "He is not here." When her son, Dr. Mao's brother, joined Hitler Youth and was later killed in a mountain accident, his funeral marched through the streets of their town and his casket was covered with a Nazi flag. And Ms. Mauser went out and grabbed the flag and ripped it off the casket and threw it to the ground in front of everyone there. And she was not alone. Not long after Hitler seized power in 1934, a small group of church leaders, professors, seminarians, pastors, church members, gathered in a town called Barmen. And over a period of a few days in May 1934, they wrote a document called the Barmen Declaration, which is now found in our Presbyterian Book of Confessions. And in it, they asserted in no uncertain terms the lordship of Jesus Christ over against all human rulers and lords. A section of the Barmen Declaration is found on your sheet if you want to read along with me. In that declaration, they wrote these words. And as I read them, think of the context in which they were written. Jesus Christ, as he is attested for us in Holy Scripture, is the one Word of God which we have to hear and which we have to trust and obey in life and in death. Jesus Christ is also God's mighty claim upon our whole life. We reject the false doctrine, that is, the false teaching of the Nazis, that there are areas of our life in which we do not belong to Jesus Christ, but to other lords. Jesus Christ is the one Word of God which we have to trust and obey in life and death. Jesus Christ is God's mighty claim on our whole life. And we reject the false teaching that would say that there are areas of our lives that do not belong to Jesus Christ, but to other lords. In Paul's day, when the letter to the Philippians was written, the standard greeting for the Roman emperor was, "Caesar is Lord." And in face of that human claim of lordship, in face of the empire with its soldiers and its military and its power, Paul shares his own and indeed the church's bold declaration of faith. For he writes in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, "God has exalted Christ Jesus to the highest place and has bestowed on him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that the Lord is Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father." Paul leaves no room for ambiguity, no room for hesitation, no room for any other confession. One day, he says, one day, every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow in complete submission. One day, every tongue will confess these words, "The Lord is Jesus Christ." Atheists and agnostics, Buddhists and Muslims, Christians and Jews, living and dead, the entire universe will ring out in one voice and with one word, "The Lord is Jesus Christ." But what does that mean? The Lord is Jesus Christ. And why will everyone bow and make that confession? The Greek word used for Lord here is kurios. And kurios in the Greek language could simply mean sir or master or Lord. It could be used in a greeting. But it was also used to express, as I mentioned earlier, the divinity of rulers such as Caesar. But that's not all that's going on here. Paul's use and Paul's context point to a stronger meaning. For Paul is quoting from an Old Testament passage found in Isaiah 45, excerpts from verses 18 through 23, which I am going to now read. Listen to what the prophet is saying about God, about the Lord, which is Yahweh in Hebrew. For this is what Yahweh, the Lord, says, the one who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who says, "I am Yahweh, the Lord, and there is no other." Who foretold this from long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord, Yahweh? There is no other God apart from me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered it in all integrity, a word that will not be revoked. Before me, every knee shall bow. Does that ring a bell? And by me, every tongue will swear allegiance. By borrowing those final words from the prophet Isaiah, Paul is making clear that professing the Lord is Jesus Christ means nothing less than this. Yahweh, the Lord, the God who created all things, is Jesus Christ. Yahweh, the Lord who says, "I am God, and there is no other," is Jesus Christ. And is Paul making this astonishing assertion because Jesus usurped power, because he crowned himself? Is Paul boldly declaring Christ's lordship because the people voted him in as Lord of all? No, not at all. Every creature will bow the knee, and every tongue will confess the Lord is Jesus Christ, because God has exalted Jesus to the highest place, because God has bestowed on him alone the name that is above all names. Human opinions and human activity have nothing to do with this true confession. God has done this. And God alone. And why? Why has God exalted Jesus above all the kings and the rulers of the earth? Why has God given him alone the name that is above every name? To answer that question, we have to go back to the beginning of that passage in Philippians, where Paul wrote, although Christ Jesus existed with all the qualities essential to God's being, that is, Jesus was fully God, completely God, he did not view divinity as something to grasp, to hold on to. Instead, he viewed his godness as something to be poured out, to be given for the life of the world God created. And so he emptied himself of all the privileges of deity. He became a baby, a human. He took on human flesh and all the limitations that that entailed. And even as a human, he didn't come to a rich home. He wasn't anointed king. He came to a humble family, a poor family. And he gave himself in servitude, in service, in obedience to God, even to the point of giving his life in the most disgraceful death possible, death on a cross. God exalted Jesus because Jesus already and always existed with the fullness of God. This was who he was. And yet he was willing, out of love and out of humility, to pour out his life for our salvation. Only Jesus existed in eternity past with all the qualities and privileges of deity. Only Jesus gave those prerogatives up and took on human flesh. Only Jesus poured out his life in obedience on the cross. Only Jesus. And that is why one day every single knee of every single creature throughout time, throughout space, will bow and will declare these words: the Lord is Jesus Christ. One day. But what about today? What about now? Today, each of us has a choice to make. Will I once again, or even for the first time, yield my life unreservedly to Jesus Christ, not only as the Lord, but as my Lord, bringing every area of my life under his lordship? As we think about the answer to that question, we must think carefully and soberly, because those must not be empty words. Did not Jesus himself warn anyone who easily confesses his lordship? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus himself asked this searching question of those who confess his lordship, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I say?" Today, will we bow the knees of our hearts? Will we bend the strength of our wills? Will we confess with our tongues that the Lord is Jesus Christ? And will we commit to living out that confession in unity with those faithful German Christians and with millions of others throughout history who wholeheartedly confess that Jesus Christ, as he is attested to us in Holy Scripture, is the one Word of God, which we have to hear and which we have to trust and obey in life and in death. Jesus Christ is also God's mighty claim upon our lives. We reject the false teaching that there are areas of our lives where we do not belong to Jesus Christ, but to other lords. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to have a brief time of prayer as we in the Christian calendar close out the Christian year. And during that time, I want us to think of our hearts, our lives, our choices, and to examine whether the words of our mouth match the allegiance of our hearts. Think about your commitment to the Church of Jesus Christ. Because when you are baptized and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God puts you into his family. And that is the place in your worship and study, in your relationships and service, where your lordship confession is lived out. Or think about your checkbook or your banking account. Does your confession of lordship show itself in how you spend your money, in the priorities you have for your finances? And what about the use of our time, our schedule, hour to hour, day to day, week to week, year to year? Is there evidence if someone else took our calendars and looked at them? Is there evidence that the Lord is Jesus Christ by the commitments I make with my time? And then in my relationship, starting at home with my family, my spouse, my children, my friends, is Christ's lordship lived out in my devotion, in my service, in my love, in my commitment? Let us pray. Lord, the world is longing to see in our lives the difference it makes for us to confess the Lord is Jesus Christ. our families, our church, our neighbors, our friends, our longing. Longing to see what it looks like for us to live into those words, the Lord is Jesus Christ. So now, Lord, we take a moment to bow before you, if not with our physical knees, with our spiritual knees. And to settle the question, is the Lord Jesus Christ? In my life.